We don't want people sitting outside and sitting everywhere else and not paying attention. This is a blessing of Allah, and this is Allah's blessing upon you that you are so early in the masjid, inshallah. Allah accept, alhamdulillah. Respected friends and brothers, we give an example as an introduction to today's talk. When someone passes away in our family, someone who is close to us, then it's grief, obviously. But sometimes the person who passes away, he leaves behind an inheritance. So, certain members of the family, depending on how close they are biologically to him, according to the Quran, they will receive an inheritance. And obviously, when we receive that inheritance, and obviously the grief is there on the one side, but many times people are a bit in the down, you know, in the red, and that inheritance comes their way, it does give them happiness, it does give them joy. Insan, we are human beings, anything that is of material nature comes to us, it does make us feel happy and joyful. So, the inheritance is something that we did not earn. The inheritance is something that came like a windfall, and everybody doesn't inherit also. Sometimes the other relative from the 54th cutting comes and says, my nanny's, masi's, grandfather's, uncle-in-law's daughter was related to your father, so I must also get the share. No, those who are supposed to get, they will get. Then, my respected friends and brothers, the second thing with regard to the inheritance is this, the question is, how is it disposed of? How do people spend their inheritance? So that's a very important aspect, because one is our own money which we've got, we've budgeted and all the rest of it, and we know we are making payments here and expenses there and paying for our children's education, our car, whatever it might be. But now, mashallah, this entire amount that comes our way, it is something very, very helpful. Whether we got expenses or not, that's besides the point. How do we dispose of this particular inheritance? So you get one person, when he gets this money, this inheritance, he is so over the moon, he got no idea of how to spend it. So he goes and, as we say, he blows it up. And in a little while, they say he blew up his father's inheritance. He inherited so many millions, and he blew it up on all the wrong things. On haram, on womanizing, on fast cars, on women, on drugs, whatever it might be. Then you find another person who will use that inheritance but in a more responsible way. He'll probably spend it on himself, maybe some repairs to the house here, maybe something on the children. So in a good way. And then you get a third person who takes that inheritance and he invests it in such investments that continuously generate profits, which in turn causes him to expand his asset base and all the things that he owns. So in a few years' time, that inheritance yields so much, much, much more benefit for him. So he also spent his inheritance. Now, my respected friends and brothers, keeping this introduction and example in the back of our mind, let us ask ourselves, what have we inherited as the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did we inherit? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابِ, that we made you the heirs, we made you inherit the book. That is, the book is in a global sense, in a universal sense, all the teachings of the Quran. We as the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam have inherited this particular deen of Islam. Did we even count it as an inheritance? The only inheritance we thought was somebody who passed away left, or somebody who was waiting to pass away. We are waiting also that as soon as old man kicks it, we can get our share and move. But this is the inheritance that Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala calls it inheritance. Why? Because, you know, inheritance is not something that you earn. You don't work for your inheritance. Is something just comes your way, alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we have made you heirs, we made you inherit the book. Who? أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابِ أَلَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, those of our servants whom we have chosen. So from all the servants of Allah, the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, me and you have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to receive that inheritance. Now, how happy we are supposed to be. We the family, somebody looking at us inheriting our deceased relatives' property and debt, he'll say, I wish I was also part of that family. Just see what these people are inheriting. I wish I can also get that. Here, without us asking for it, Allah says, "Istafaina," those whom we chose. So there was no biological relations here, there was no relatives, there was nothing. This was Allah's mercy, understand that, and Allah's doing and Allah's choosing that I chose you, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to receive the inheritance of the book given to us. There is another inheritance also which the hadith speaks about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-ulama'u warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the heirs of the anbiya. So there is a special kind of inheritance which is directly received. It is received. Where the ulama go and sit at the feet of their ustads and they learn from them. Everybody does not have that honor. Last week we had a tragedy in our community, the loss of a senior alim of our town, Hazrat Maulana Warad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And there was a little clip going around on the social media of who Hazrat's ustads were. So obviously the public here would not have an idea who these people were because you're not in that field of ilm. But there were names that were mentioned of great, great ulama. Maulana Ahmed Ali Lahori, Maulana Sayyid Hussein Ahmed Madani, and Maulana Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Alayh, amongst others. There were other ustads also Hazrat learnt under when he was in another madrasa. And just to be a student of these great ulama is already an honor. We are the students of the students of those ulama. Our ustads say they learnt under these people. Alhamdulillah, we are honored. Maulana learnt under those people. They learnt under greater luminaries, great ulama. And they learnt under, so there's an entire chain that is linked up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that is also an inheritance that has been handed down from heart to heart at the feet of the ustaz. And finally, it is something that has been acquired. Alhamdulillah, we just when we read this, as it should always, when we've been in weddings or we sit down to eat or something, it's always tell us about his life story in India and where he went and how he studied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let his legacy of whichever way he gave it to us here continue. Also in the form of an inheritance which we have, those who have been had the opportunity of learning under him and carry on with it. So there are two forms of inheritance. One is Allah chose us as the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second one is that what is specifically acquired. We are talking of the one which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, my respected friends and brothers. So what is that inheritance? You know, when somebody passes away, then we say, what did they inherit? Say, that fellow inherited cash, big bucks, inherited the business, inherited properties, inherited cars, and whatever else. So we say, subhanallah, what and what? So the estate always is made up of worldly items for which we know the value of, or we can't understand the value. Sometimes it is so much, so much. So then we say, subhanallah, that is what the person inherited. Now what does this inheritance of the book that we have inherited entail? When we have got this kitab, my respected friends and brothers, it entails, first of all, the most important thing, guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hidayat. It entails salvation in the akhirat. It entails salvation from the calamities and the difficulties and the failures and the ruin of this world. It entails fiqh. It entails noble character, which is a thing that is so lacking in the whole world today. It entails iman. It entails correct beliefs. It entails the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole Quran is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, have you not read the Quran? How was the character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She says it was the Quran. It entails fiqh. These are just some of the things we are now detailing in as far as the items of the inheritance of the book that we have received. Have we ever sat down and made shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We all collected it in different ways and we are continuously collecting it and we are still supposed to collect. 3 weeks ago we spoke a series of the importance of Islamic education for us as adults, for our children, for our women. All that is part of preserving and consolidating this inheritance that has been given to us. If your inheritance is there and somebody will tell you, you know what, your father left behind 25 million there in the office, wherever. Yeah, he's lying there. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, I'll go pick it up one day. I'm not saying, I didn't have time. Anybody will do that. You won't do that. So in the same way, my brothers, the ilm is there, the knowledge is there. It's there for us to go and acquire it in the different forms that we discussed in the past 3 weeks. We must rush and pick it up and take it and bring it, because that is the inheritance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the three categories of people as to how they spend their spiritual inheritance that has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we must just listen where we fall in this particular three categories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. There are those who wrong themselves in as far as this inheritance is concerned. Like that fellow we mentioned in introduction, he blows away the entire inheritance and estate he received from his father. So there are those, they don't care about it. They don't acquire knowledge. They don't practice Islam. They don't worry about halal. They don't worry about haram. They don't worry about anything. They just carrying on. They got iman, alhamdulillah. They are Muslims. But they can't be cared about it. It's okay. No problem. Good. More of us can talk. Very nice lecture there. Very good book there. You will carry on with it. I am not interested. So there are those people who can't be cared. Or even if they have that knowledge, they don't use it in the proper way. They abuse it. They use it in the wrong way. So that's the first category. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the second category. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ. There are those that follow the middle path when it comes to this particular inheritance. Now what is the middle path? The middle path is those people who take this knowledge, they go out of their way to acquire it, they preserve it, they practice upon it, they give it to their children, they want their children to have the best, they want their children to practice on it. They themselves make an effort of not missing out on any fara'is, for example, all the wajibat, all the things that are compulsory. And to a good extent, they apply that knowledge, that inheritance on themselves. They try and walk the straight path with it. They slip here, they make a sin there, they make a guna there, they make tawbah, they get up, they carry on, they say, no, we are sinners, we are weak, shaitan got us. Allah forgive us. So they cry. So there's a middle path. Then you get the third group. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. They are those who are foremost. They go right ahead in goodness with this inheritance. So they are the people example we gave who put it to good use by investing it. So whatever we learn in terms of Islamic knowledge, now we must ask ourselves which category we are. We not only learn it, we put into practice. We don't only put into practice, we teach it to others. We make this fikr and we go out of our way that how can I ensure that the people that are with me in the masjid or in my community can benefit with this knowledge. We teach them in whichever way we want to. We give them some good guidance, we teach them something. We look for any and every opportunity, like the investor we spoke about, where he says, this is a good investment, let me put some money and in a little while I'm going to see what happens, because everybody is talking about this scheme here, for example. So in this way, my respected friends and brothers, so the third one, this one which we spoke about, are those investors with their inheritance. سَابِقُمْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. Allah says, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the will and the permission of Allah. So it will only come by the will and permission of Allah if we make shukr for what we have got, we appreciate it, we show respect for it, and we show a thirst for it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it that we go ahead. And we go from door to door. Alhamdulillah, Jamaat makes this effort. Allah reward them, Allah accept them. And invite people, bring them in the masjid. And in any other way, people are doing whatever, giving out pamphlets, in giving bayans, going wherever. All are trying to further this knowledge which they got, which someone else can get, which someone else can get, and can carry on. That is why it is a salient feature of this ummah. You must remember that the Quran says that you go and you propagate and you give da'wah and you inform other people about this deen. You make tabligh, you make da'wah, in whichever way it might be. You benefit people with your knowledge. So when they will benefit, inshallah, if we make one person a Muslim, just one person, do we know what a great, great reward it is for us? We'll be dead and gone if that person carries on with his deen. His entire family will become, they'll be ulama, they'll be whatever. So understand the growth of that particular investment. So these are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the three categories. Now let us ask ourselves, what have we done with this particular inheritance that we have received? And my respected friends and brothers, also, there are challenges, must remember, to this particular inheritance. Today, if someone knows we got a big amount of money in our house, they come for us. Yeah, you've got a big business. Where's the money? Where's the money? Where's the money? They look for it. Either it's our business, or either they know that someone left money by us, it's just a scary thing to leave money with us. Or if they know that we just collected a big lump sum from somewhere, they're going to come looking for us. In other places, they catch people, they hold them to ransom. Allah Ta'ala protect us until that person is not paying, doesn't pay the ransom. He is not released. Allah protect us from all that kind of afat and bala. So my respected friends and brothers, our inheritance is also challenged at all times. It will be in some way or the other stolen from us. People will not be happy that we have it. And it's in different forms. It's in different forms. In some places you will find, you will be told, you know what, you are practicing your religion, but can you please just practice it in the back, not in front. Separate your religion from your rest of your life. Your religion, Islam, you must practice it there in your home, in your masjid, out of the way, because people don't like to see it. And if you are seen practicing it, they don't like it. So they say you must, and others are more bold. They say you have come to our country. It's happening in Europe and everywhere else. Then you mustn't come with your religion here. You must assimilate. Forget about, get our way of life. Come to the clubs, come to the bars, come to the casinos, womanize and all the other nonsense that goes on. There you come with your Islam here. So this is a challenge, and people who don't do it, they are challenged. People who practice in the deen, you see from time to time, this ban on that and that ban. And then there are the second category, where there is open ban on this particular inheritance that we have. They want us to totally destroy it. We just heard the feedback, a report back of the brothers that went, the Jamiatul Ulama delegation went to Albania. 47 years of communism there, and this is where we must make shukr. They were killed and tortured for practicing Islam. If you were found reading namaz in your house, and if your son didn't like you, he'll report you to the authorities. There were spies all the time, keeping an eye. Ulama and imams and normal people were destroyed, killed. They were banned from practicing Islam. So this is how this inheritance was challenged. To such an extent, they say that people didn't even know how to say La ilaha illallah. Alhamdulillah, it has changed. Now there are madrasas and so forth coming up, and things have changed there. Then, my respected friends and brothers, if not that, all kinds of obstacles are put in our way to prevent us from practicing our deen. So they won't come outright, but they see Muslims are put up a masjid there. These are Muslims, make their life difficult when it comes to applying for a visa or coming to their country or practicing your deen. They will make it as difficult. Palestine is a perfect example. If those of us who have been there see how these Yahudis go out of their way to try and make life as difficult as possible for the Muslims in every way that you can think of. You can't believe human beings can act in that way. Then, my respected friends and brothers, another way with our deen is challenged by us. We ourselves sometimes suffer from an inferiority complex about our own religion. So we put a ban on ourselves. We're scared to practice Islam. We just feel shy about it. So how can you be shy when you inherited so much? Only time you be shy when you inherited, when everybody's going to be coming to ask you, Brother, we heard you inherited a lot of money. How about a loan there, man? There's the time you hide your inheritance, you don't speak about it. But this inheritance of the book and the kitab, subhanAllah, we must not be shy, we must be proud about it. So some people suffer from an inferiority complex regarding this inheritance. Then there are others who dilute it. They want to follow that way also and follow that way also. So they say, you know what, this is Sharia compliant, some haram stuff. This is Islamicized, this is Islamic this and Islamic that. So many times inside it's all non-Islamic, non-Muslim. But the outside is given some or other kind of a facade. But what we are doing is we are destroying our inheritance at our own hands. And you get those who finally just ignore it. They can't be cared about it. It's fine. Those old people, they had it. It was their deen. We are living in another time, in another era. And those things don't apply. So we don't want to worry. So in our functions, in our whatever it might be, we won't even think two times about, is this Islamic what I'm doing or not? So my respected friends and brothers, This deen of Islam is something we have inherited. We must be proud about it, we must be jealous about it, jealously guard it, and we must be happy to tell everybody about it, and our responsibility to ensure that we are in the third category of those people who take it forward. Amen.